All right. Well, as we indicated a little bit earlier on the introduction, we're pleased to have Connecticut's Insurance Commissioner Josh Hirschman back on the air with us today, talking about a couple of important things. But Commissioner Hirschman, if you could just take a few minutes and remind or refamiliarize our audience with yourself. And you've been with the department for some time, but let's talk a little bit about your background and how you're looking forward to the rest of this summer and 2026.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Yeah, my name is Josh Hirschman. I'm the insurance commissioner here in the state of Connecticut. And I've been in this role since December of 25. So I'm new to being the insurance commissioner, but I'm not new to the insurance department. I was the deputy insurance commissioner from 2019 until 2022. And I'm excited to be back and get in the mix here.
So, fresh news, not breaking news, but relatively a new development on your radar is the announcement of a number of insurance companies. Some or all, I guess, serve the Connecticut marketplace through Access Health CT, and they have issued their 2027 rate requests. So why don't you frame that for us? This is an annual exercise?
Yep. So about four companies filed five plans on both the individual and small group market here to be put on the exchange. Every year, they are required to file these plans by June 1st, and we work through the plans, the proposals internally to make sure that they meet all the requirements. We post the proposals. They're public. People could click through our website and review them. We give the opportunity to the public to digest them and offer comments. We're hoping to invite many stakeholders to an informational meeting that we've yet to schedule, but will be scheduled for some time in August. After the informational hearing and after our review, we typically will take a little bit more time to post the final plans, which will be sometime in September. And then November 1st, open enrollment begins, and consumers in Connecticut will have an opportunity to purchase those plans or you know, get access to those plans.
So folks can go to the department, Connecticut Insurance Department's website to look at these requested rate filings and other data around it. And once they are educated a little bit more beyond what we'll have a chance to talk about in just a few minutes today, they are able to, if I see correctly, begin making public comment on the rate filings?
Yep. We allow for a process for really anyone in the state to participate in the conversation. And so what will happen is during the informational hearing that will take place, we will review those public comments. So you have until now, until the informational hearing, which will be sometime in late August. Again, we haven't set that date up to reach out to us. The process is outlined on our website, and consumers can, or stakeholders, or any party in the system can have a voice here.
So as you expressed before we turned on the microphone, it's we're really, really early in the process, but have you and your team done any analysis yet so we can get at least some high-level ideas about what ratepayers may be looking at next year?
We've not done, you know, our analysis yet, and, you know, we're not going to be able to sort of predispose that at any rate. But what I would say is the small group market looks like the rate requests are around, I think the average was around 17%. And then the individual, the average was around 16% increase. I think in the individual space, it was, you know, as low as no increase to as much as 23% increase. And in the small group, I think it was somewhere between 11% of an increase to to 23 or 24% of an increase. So, you know, every little percentage point is meaningful. And we understand that as regulators, and the carriers understand that as well before they make these filings. I don't think that there's anything surprising in these filings. I think that, unfortunately, consumers have been trained to expect these rate increases year over year, and it's not sustainable. So we certainly need to work towards a global, sustainable resolution here so that we're addressing the issues at the source versus trying to reverse engineer reductions.
In prior years and in situations you've had eyes on in your tenure with the Connecticut Insurance Department, have you seen situations where the rate increase is scrutinized and the amount of the increase just doesn't seem to add up and some sort of reduction has been affected on behalf of consumers?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, we do have a toolbox that we have to look at when we're reviewing the rate filings, right? So that although it is limited, we need to ensure that the rates are not unfairly discriminatory. We need to make sure that they are not excessive. We need to make sure that they are actuarially justified, and we need to make sure that they are not inadequate, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the whole point of insurance is you're paying for something today for something that you're going to receive tomorrow. So if a rate is inadequate, that creates a solvency situation for the carrier. And then when a claim does come due, the carrier might not have the resources to pay those claims. So that's why the rates have to be actuarially justified, and they need to be adequate for consumers to be appropriately protected.
Yeah, I see where it's frustrating where the providers need to hedge against, in effect, worst case scenarios where by doing that, they can put an undue strain on consumers. And in some cases, it's terrible to say, may force those consumers to have to make an economic decision to just stop paying for insurance and roll the dice.
Yeah, there are so many different stakeholders involved in this health delivery ecosystem. One thing I could say is every consumer deserves some access to healthcare. So that's a very important feature to, I think, we live in one of the wealthiest countries, if not the wealthiest country in the world, and we should be able to have appropriate access to healthcare. So those tough decisions that consumers have to make, it shouldn't happen. And it's not just a single source of failure here. We have so many different stakeholders. You have the providers, you have the hospital networks, you have the pharmacy manufacturers, you have the pharmacy benefit managers, you have the carriers. There's all these stakeholders together are really driving the cost, and trying to play whack-a-mole is not effective. So we need to figure out a more sustainable and resilient system to address these increase in costs across the entire board, and hopefully we'll get somewhere.
Excellent. Before we change to the next subject, about how many consumers could be impacted, and what types of plans? I know you mentioned them when you were talking about the increases, but I'm looking at under the statewide umbrella of health insurance, what is the proportion of consumers that could potentially be impacted, no matter what the increases may end up being in the end?
Yeah, and this is sort of the tough part for everyone to digest. The majority of Connecticut consumers are in the fully self-insured marketplace where their employer is paying, right? I mean, that's typically where people are getting their health insurance from, and often, more often than not, they're not on the small group market in Connecticut on the exchange. So On the individual end, it's something like, it varies a little bit, but I'd say it's something around 150,000 people, maybe 175,000 people. That's probably the range. In the small group, it's between 50 and 70,000 people. So those are the people that are being impacted. And remember, a large portion of those people are also receiving some form of discount because of their financial status. So it's even smaller group of people that are paying sort of the full freight and are being impacted. So it's a small number of people, but it's very meaningful and it's a huge problem.
Well, best of luck to you and your team as you kind of begin this next mountain climb here in 2026 toward the eventual August information session. Once again, folks can go to the Connecticut Insurance Department's website to look at all these filings, and you are able to comment on them. That kicked off last Friday and runs for 30 days. So we'll move on to another subject, which I've enjoyed talking about with your predecessors as well. And that is how Connecticut is continuing to lead the country or be among the leaders when it comes to the insurance industry and how it is getting its arms around climate change and other various resilience issues related to weather risks associated with global warming. What's the latest, Commissioner?
Well, I like how you framed it in terms of industry. You know, it's not just the regulators that are focused on this. It's also industry. And I was just at an event that the Travelers, in conjunction with the National Trust for Historic Preservation, put on in celebration of the United States' 250th birthday. The Travelers was doing an event, Travelers Across America. And the stop that they had was at Mystic, Connecticut. And essentially they brought together stakeholders from across the ecosystem. You know, they brought architects. There were other types of departments from different state agencies. So the state of Georgia was there talking about different mitigation risks. There were NGOs there. There were technology organizations. And the dialogue was really, you know, we're seeing an increase in weather severity events. And how can we come together to make the aftermath more resilient, and by doing a lot of stuff on the front end and what that looks like, and thinking through all the different stakeholders that are necessary to resolve a problem, you know, probably whether we're talking about a hurricane or we're talking about wildfires. I mean, resiliency on the front end could save a lot on the back end. And then, you know, making sure that all the stakeholders understand what needs to be done in the aftermath, and how you need to clean up the process of, you know, whether it's zoning approvals for certain types of surfaces, like, you know, permeable surfaces, make them more adaptable to these environments, and how to improve the before and after, I think is super interesting. And I love that the carriers are driving these conversations as well as the regulators, because, you know, like we discussed on before we started this call, we discussed a little bit that Connecticut really has been at the forefront of that. The Connecticut Insurance Department has been, and we're going to continue to be. But seeing the carriers also carry that torch as well is, I'll just use the word, heartwarming.
You also make a superb point about some of the other players that are informing the process that people may not necessarily think of. That you had the opportunity to interact with and hear from at the event in Mystic. What were, I mean, if you could even identify one thing that you heard that you learned and was surprising to you from one of these various stakeholders that are not the, a regulated insurance industry professional, whether private sector or public sector, but some of these other kind of peripheral organizations that were part of this event.
Yeah, I mean, think about landscape architects. And it's something that I never really thought about. But when you're doing your landscaping at your house, and if you're paying for someone to come in and do that landscaping, you can have your landscape also look amazing while mitigating against the next type of natural event that occurs around you, whether it's a hurricane or a wildfire. There are types of indigenous plants that are better at retaining water or letting water recede or stopping fire than other types of plants. So if given the choice and things look similar to you, why not choose something that might protect your home?
Excellent. Well, we couldn't leave the conversation without reminding listeners that you've got a couple things available to them. Of course, your work now further informed by all the stakeholders and individuals that you recently gathered with at the Travelers Across America event. You have this Severe Weather Mitigation and Resilience Advisory Council, whose recommendations are available for people to review toward helping protect homes, businesses, and communities from future losses. But you also recently lost a free climate risk mapping tool. Let's just spend a moment or two on those, and we'll say farewell for today.
Yeah, so the climate risk mapping tool is available on our website, and give it a look, put your address in. It'll tell you more information than you can imagine about the exposures of your property, and it'll give you the tools necessary to make informed decisions on flood insurance or on what your actual homeowner's insurance looks like and if you need to make some changes to that. The other thing that we're working on driving is getting out in communities and sharing this tool with people so that we can maybe continue the education process on how to use it and what the best use cases are. So we're planning on trying to get out in front on a few more of these resiliency conversations, and we look forward to continuing this dialogue.
As we're talking, and as we mentioned prior to turning on the mic, summer heat is bearing down on us over the next few days with high heat warnings. And summer is certainly coming. If we're looking at any of the recommendations from the advisory council, we're kind of moving into hurricane season and summer storm season, as well as the heat. Are there any particular recommendations that you'd like to highlight for home and business owners that they might be able to easily do to kind of hedge against possible issues?
Well, the best recommendation that I'll say until I'm blue in the face is get flood insurance.
Very good. Short and sweet, and I appreciate that. Commissioner Josh Hirschman is with the Connecticut Insurance Department, always involved and trendsetting on the national level, particularly in terms of climate resilience practices and initiatives. So, Commissioner Hirschman, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.